to be the story of the Magi, of the wise men. So I have this book called Cloth for the Cradle. It's written by the Iona community, a Celtic community, spiritual community. And they have a little reading that I want to share with you called The Wise Man's Journey. There will be no camels. We are going on horseback, at least for some of the way. And we won't arrive there a few hours after everyone else. It will be weeks, perhaps, or months. We are not in a hurry. That is not the way we work. We are not Europeans. We will discuss the phenomena, the star. And if it does not go away, and if we still feel curious, we will travel. We will look in the wrong places. Yes, I admit that, because wise men, potentates, intellectuals, call us what you will, are not infallible. We expect a new power to emerge from the side of the old one. We expect the destination we seek to resemble what our common senses deduces. We will be upset, angry even, to find that Herod is ignorant and that his residence is not the birthplace. We will find it hard and intellectually demeaning to bow the knee to the son of refugees. And all this upset will be compounded when it comes to journeying back and we discover we have to go home by alternative routes. That's the trouble with God. God does not let you leave the way you came. God sends you back, stripped of your presumptions, making a home by an alternative route. Listen to the reading today that's prescribed as the story of the wise men. Reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'm reading from the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened. And all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was being born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, saying, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. You, O Judea, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay homage to him.' When they heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. Is entitled "Deconstructing We Three Kings." So, quite a few years ago, I decided that I was going to learn to play the guitar. Now, if you have ever heard me play, you know that I am still trying to learn to play the guitar. Well, one year, shortly after learning a few new chords, I decided that it was time to learn some Christian Christmas songs. So I started with We Three Kings, like we just sang. It's always been one of my favorites. I don't really know why. I just like it. So I found the chords for it, and I started playing it through. We Three Kings, from Orient are there. Now, wait, I thought. You know what? I mean, yeah, the Christmas story says that they had three gifts, but three kings? How do we know that there were three of them? So I put my guitar down, and I picked up my Bible, and, you know, already pretty certain of what I would find there, I began reading. It said, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, I read the whole thing, and there was no mention of the number of these wise men. Then it hit me. You know, I was only looking at Matthew. I needed to look into the other Gospels. Well, I mean, except for Mark and John, of course, because there's no birth narratives in either of those. So, but still, there's still Luke. So, I flipped over to Luke. Now, at this point, you may be beginning to understand why I am not doing so well at learning to play the guitar. I may have a tendency to get distracted by theological rabbit holes. But still, I flipped over to Luke. Nothing. Not even one thing about these three kings of Oriental descent. Not even one. Now, at this point, my guitar was already collecting new dust, so I decided I'd just keep looking into this. Now, admittedly, I sort of knew most of what I was finding out, but I'm not sure that I had ever really done the sort of research to back it up. So, what I had so far was that there weren't necessarily three of them. At least not as far as the Bible had anything to say about it. Sure, people will point to the fact that they brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and say that that's the reason that they know that there were three. But, you know, that's sort of the logical equivalence of saying that 10 people live in my house because this year at the family Christmas, I brought 10 presents. So, I moved on. And that's when I thought, wait a minute, three kings? I don't remember reading anything about kings. Not in Matthew for sure, which, as we've already covered, is the only place they're mentioned at all. So, back to the Bible I went. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. So, aha. So, wise men. But, you know, I realized I was reading only from the NRSV, and there's lots of other versions of the Bible. So, I checked them. Now, none of them, not one of them said kings. About half of them said wise men, and the other half said magi. Now, let me just say, I am not a fan of when this sort of thing happens. There is a clear difference here among the different versions in what they are named, which means at some point people made choices in interpretation and ended up with different answers. Which means I have to go back and look at the original Greek. Now, let me just say my Greek class in the classical languages department of Wake Forest University, well, let's just say at that point it had been more than 10 years ago. So, ugh. So I pull out my Greek Bible. I look up the word, and in Greek they're called magos or magi. Mystery solved. Great, but you know, wait a minute. What the heck is a magi? Well, you know, in the Bible, that word is only mentioned one other time. It's in the book of Acts, in chapter 13, and there it's most typically interpreted as magician. So, there is some difference in the understanding of what magi might mean, even in the Bible. If you look at the literature of the time, magi actually meant a lot of different things. For from astrologers to seers, interpreters of dreams, soothsayers, sorcerers, and magicians. So ultimately, I mean, who knows? Who knows what they were? As the story is told, they were following a star, which means astrologer seems to make some sense. But, you know, then again, it would seem that the star was so unusual that just about anybody probably could have followed it. At any rate, any of the names I gave you would have worked, but kings? No. So I'm just going to stick with Magi. All right. At this point, after what I'd already uncovered, I couldn't help myself but questioning some of the other parts of the song. So, three kings who traveled afar. Afar? Really? Well, the text just says that they came from the east. But, you know, let's face it. If someone came to church today from downtown Greensboro, they'd be visiting from the east. And that's exactly what the Greek says. Essentially, it says that they came from the direction of the rising sun. So, from Orient are? Who knows? Who knows? You know, most scholars actually tend to think that they probably came from the region that's now known as Iran, which would probably make them Zoroastrians, which is a religion that actually predates both Judaism and Christianity, and that both Judaism and Christianity have a tendency to borrow from. But truthfully, the text just doesn't say. And you know, what about the star that they followed? What was that? And why did they know that it meant that a king was being born? Well, the best guess is that understanding came from the book of Numbers, chapter 24, verse 12, which says, "A star shall come out of Jacob." Now, if that is the case, then they probably weren't traveling from too afar, because the text of Numbers at that point in time really wasn't all that popular in the Orient. Like I said, I was questioning a lot of things about the song. So what about the star? Why a star? Well, if Magi came to visit Jesus, it wouldn't actually be all that surprising that they were, well, following a star. You see, one, that is in part what astrologer Magi do. And two, it really wasn't all that unusual in that time for people to believe that stars led them to something important. It's actually said that a star guided Aeneas to the place where he founded Rome. Basically, those people in that time, well, for them, this wasn't actually all that surprising that they followed a star to something important. The bigger question with which I was left is, what do we do with all? As we discussed a few Sundays ago, it's just not very likely that any of this is a true story. Nor was it likely meant to be understood as a true story. It was much more likely meant as a story that would teach us something truthful. How do we go back to the text and understand what it tells us? Why it is important? What should we take from it? Well, let's start with the fact that these Magi were from the East. As I mentioned, they were probably Zoroastrian. It's worth noting then that despite the fact that in this story they believed that this child that they were going to see is going to be one of the most important religious leaders of all times. And even with that, they remain Zoroastrian even as they return home. There's no conversion story. It would seem that they were able to experience God through another people's religion without the need to either convert or to be converted. If you ask me, that's a pretty powerful lesson for far too many Christians in this reality. This is a story of the importance of recognizing and honoring other belief systems. Also, upon finding this family and seeing them in what was certainly a less than advantageous life in comparison to their own, they gave what they had, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, to the family. Now, we get stuck in believing that these gifts were meant to honor the newborn religious leader. But you know, a careful reading of the text tells us that they first honored the child, and then they gave gifts. This is a story of charity, a story of love, a story of sharing with those who are less fortunate than ourselves. This is also a story of resisting injustice. King Herod wants this king of the Jews found. He wants to put an end to this new come challenger. He does his best. He does his very best to enlist the Magi in his plan, but they resist. You see, injustice almost always requires the participation of complicit actors. And while it may be difficult as an individual or a small group to put an end to injustice that comes from such high and powerful places, we can choose to not be complicit. We can choose to burden the path of injustice with difficulties and obstacles. In short, we can resist. You know, just like the rest of the two Christmas narrative stories, the story of the Magi is likely to not be true, but that doesn't mean that it's not truthful. It has some pretty powerful themes in it that are echoed not only in the teachings of Jesus, but in the teachings of many great spiritual leaders. It's time for us to reclaim the story from the literalist who wish to believe in a fairy tale-like narrative that seems only to promote the superiority of one religion over all others and ask nothing of its constituents in return. This is a story of religious pluralism. This is a story of sharing with one another. This is a story of resisting injustice. And it should be no surprise then that modern day King Herods prefer the gentler fairy tale interpretation. It leaves them in power and us divided. The grittier, down-to-earth understanding, however, turns all of that upside down and provides a bright star for us to follow, one that will lead us to discovering the divine in each of us. And we will be able to build a world not based on power and division, but on understanding and oneness. We enter into the time of response now. Are there those who have questions or thoughts that they'd like to share with the community?
My name is Gail. Mark, thank you so much for that, interpretation of the story about the three kings.
I appreciate it.
I would like to tell you that I am a Pentecostal holiness minister's daughter.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to tell you that he did believe every word of the Bible as truth.
Yeah.
And by the time I was 10 years old, I began to think, how could all of this be true?
Yeah, absolutely.
And plus, he did not live the life at home that he showed in the pulpit.
Yeah.
So I got more and more confused with it all. Till I married David Johnson. And I said to him, how in the world do you... understand Genesis and the beginning of the world. And we were almost asleep, and he told me, he says, I'll talk to you about that later. And he really did give me insight that I had always not understood well, except that I did not follow Daddy's path. And he did. He gave me an insight to understand the stories that were written by men rather than stories that were blessed and divine from the Holy Spirit of men, and it was given to them by God.
Yeah.
And it was true.
Makes a big difference.
So David described it to me in the way which I had believed and thought. And I appreciate him, and I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for sharing that very much. If you would, that'd be great. Thank you. David will carry the mic if anyone else would like to share thoughts or ask a question. Are there others?
Good morning. I'm Charlie. Mark, you used this term several times, and I just ask you to explain it again or elaborate that something, although it's not true, it may be truthful.
Yes.
Would you explain that again for me?
Absolutely. Particularly back in the times that we're talking about where these stories were written, they weren't always intending to describe minute by minute, hour by hour, what events took place. They might take something and elaborate on it, but what they were trying to do is communicate something of a truth about life. And so you can end up with stories that aren't true in terms of their historicity, but they are truthful in terms of the core value that it's trying to teach. Does that help some with expanding that some? It's a good question. Thank you for bringing it up.
I'm Chipper. Most of you do not know that for the last year or more, I have been on a journey, not necessarily that wise in my travels, but I have been journeying towards stars. And it dawned on me as, Mark, you presented this idea of the star and its significance, that all of a sudden I have been traveling towards a multitude of stars that I've been reading in poetry, in literature, novels, all kinds of written works that have helped to bring forth truths that enriched my inner soul. And that's what the purpose of that journey was to do, was to rediscover my lost soul. And I found it many times and have been enriched by so much. And even a few of you have been a part of that journey. You have been stars in my quest. So I thank you.
Thank you for sharing it, Jim. Are there others?
Okay, well, I've got the mic. I was going to mention that I've been a couple of times to Planetaria.
Huh?
And they've had a program which was designed to show us what the sky looked like on AD, whatever it is, and tried to figure out, you know, what was the star that was mentioned and how might it have led to whatever, and also when was Jesus born based upon
all kinds of different variables.
So, so people got me. That's trying to make historical fact out of...
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on where people try to take what we know to be facts and force it into these stories somehow so that they can become clearly true somehow on top of it. Let's now enter into...